Antiquity then gives its name to a period in early Greek history. It is almost certainly these Mycenaeans who conquered Minoan Crete. To be sure, conquered Minoan Crete at a very late stage in its development. They'd probably been learning from them for a long time. They probably grew jealous of them, and they saw that they were ripe for the plucking, and they plucked them. Now, the high point of Mycenaean civilization falls between about 1400 and about 1200 BC. In other words, the couple of centuries following their conquest of Minoan Crete. This is the period of the great cities of Mycenae and Corinth and Pylos, the very cities, for example, that are mentioned in Homer's Iliad. We're going to talk about the Iliad more in a few minutes, but this is basically the world that Homer begins to bring into focus for us. This is a period of massive building projects, for example, at sites like Mycenae, a huge citadel built on the top of a hill, a massive road flanked on each side with stone walls leading up to that great citadel at Mycenae. So these were people who could build quite impressive structures, who could build quite impressive buildings. It was a time, we think, of very considerable wealth. The Mycenaeans seem to have sustained themselves mainly by agricultural pursuits in the Greek mainland, but also by engaging in overseas trade, in overseas contacts, in overseas commerce, and in having contacts with people overseas as well. We know about the Mycenaeans from three different kinds of evidence. In the first place, we have a great collection of what are called Linear B documents. Now, there are thousands of these. Again, it turns out they are overwhelmingly bureaucratic records. We didn't find the first edition of the Iliad or something like that in these documents. It would have been lovely to have done so, but we didn't. The Linear B documents differ from the Linear A documents in a couple of very important respects. The first and fundamental one is we can read them. We can read these documents. Now, for a very long time, nobody could read them. We still can't, as we've seen, read the Linear A documents. We don't know what the language is. Well, for a long time, prevailing archaeological theory held that the Greeks came into Greece sort of after about 1200 BC. And therefore, theory held, those people before 1200, whatever they might have been, weren't Greek. So people went and looked in one place after another for the language in these Linear B documents. Right after the Second World War, a group of individuals led by an Oxford classicist by the name of Michael Ventris, they had all worked at Bletchley during World War II. These were the Enigma codebreakers, very interesting people to put to work on the task of puzzling out a language. So they assembled all this brain power, and they were going to crack this code. Ventris gets the bright idea, maybe it's Greek, but written in a different script. Hello, it's Greek. So actually they didn't need all that brain power in the long run. It took one simple flash of brilliant insight. And now it was possible to read these documents and, by the by, to adjust earlier archaeological theory. These people are speaking Greek, writing Greek. They're probably Greek in some way or another. Now, one other interesting thing to say about the Linear B documents before we leave them is you may be puzzled by what does this linear mean? Well, it means simply writing that is arrayed in lines. You think, well, that doesn't sound terribly interesting. I mean, cuneiform could be arrayed in lines. Hieroglyphics would be arrayed in lines. But it is writing that is arrayed in lines running from left to right, you see, across the page. But it is a particular kind of writing. And that's the point that I want to just put a little bit of emphasis on at the moment. It is syllabic writing. We can have basically three kinds of writing. We have talked already about pictographs, hieroglyphics, for example, picture writing, where pictures stand for nouns and verbs, and then colored in certain ways can give us the other array of words, adjectives, adverbs, and so on, that modify things, and various connective words. Picture writing, as we saw, not terribly efficient. Syllabic writing is more efficient. The demotic, for example, that began to be used on papyrus in Egypt is syllabic writing. Cuneiform is syllabic writing. The languages which the cuneiform symbols represent are laid out syllabically. It's almost certainly the case the Linear A documents are like that too. We just know what the language is. And the Linear B documents are laid out this way as well. Now, what on earth does this mean, syllabic writing? It's vastly more efficient than pictographs, but a lot less efficient than alphabetic writing, to which I'll come in just a second. Syllabic writing, let's suppose we were going to make up a syllabary for English. We would have to have a symbol